morning's breakfast and shir are sponsored Zeicha Nishmas Sarah Henya Bas Yosef HaKohen. And I wanted to discuss this morning about shir Omer, in particular the Avelus, getting married, maybe a little bit about getting haircuts or not during shir Omer. And Mirat Hashem, next week we'll begin a series on Hilchos Shabbos. Next week I want to talk about opening bags and food and cans and bottles. And any suggestions about Hilchos Shabbos or anything else, please let me know. I'd love to try to deal with each of those issues that might come up on every Shabbos. So the Gemara in Yevamos tells us, that the 12,000 couples of students, the 12,000 chavrusas, talmidim of Rabbi Kiva, had died during Perek Echad, during one tkufa, one time period, all the talmidim of Rabbi Kiva had perished. And the Gemara explained, Mipnei shelo nagu kavod zel zel, they didn't show honor one to the next. V'haya holam shamam, and the entire world was desolate. Ad sheba Rabbi Kiva etal rabosinu shebedarum, he went down to the south and taught five students, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Elazar ben Shmua, and there he passed on the Torah Shebaal Peh. They were the barriers of the Mesorah. And then the Gemara quotes a brisa, unclear whether everyone agrees to this point or just some, that kulam meisum mipesach v'ad atzeres. And this tkufa, this time period that we speak of, is a period of from Pesach up until Shavuos, is where the Talmidim of Rabbi Kiva had died. So that's all we have in the Gemara. That's pretty much all we have on the Rishonim there in Yevamos. And you walk away with that. It's a very sad time period, but there are no halachic nafkamim that are come from this Gemara itself. It's just simply that they died during this particular time period. But the Torah brings from a number of Gaonim that because of this they had a minhag. So number two, he writes that Noagim b'chol ha-makomos shelo lisa isha bein Pesach la'atzeres. The custom was, not that it was instituted, there was a custom. He said, because of what happened, let's practice among ourselves not to get married between Pesach and Shavuos during Sfiras Omer. That was the minhag. And it seemed that the Torah wanted to formalize this into halacha. It was first, again, the minhag, and they said, let's make this into a formal halacha, put this in the Torah, put this in the Shulchan Aruch, that one's not allowed to get married from Pesach until Shavuos. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, the problem is, not a problem yet, but there seems to be a heter. If you look in Hilchos Yardei, the end of Yardei in Hilchos Avelus, number 3, Shulchan Aruch, based on Gemara Zmoikatan, tells us that a person who is an Avel is not allowed to get married. But he quotes some hekterim that im lo kayim mitzvah peruvia, if the man has not yet been mekayim, he's not fulfilled the mitzvah peruvu yet, O sheyesh lo banim ketanim, or has little children, no one to take care of them. O sheein lo mishi yesham shenu, no one to serve him. Then mutter lekadish miyad. And even though he is an avel, he's allowed to get married during this time period. It's Hilchos Avelus, the end of the Yardea. So that being the case, one would imagine during Sfiras Omer as well, the Isser to get married is because of Avelus. One would be allowed to get married if they have not yet been mekayim peruvu, or they have young children who need to be taken care of by a mother. So number 4, the Behetiv writes in Hilchos Pesach, he quotes from the Bach, the ein chilek bein nesuin shel mitzvah kigon chein labanim o sheish lo kikein nagu shel lechalek ad kan lishon. The Bach says, regardless of the situation, there is no heta to get married at all during Sfiras Omer, which goes against what we saw in Hilchos Avelus. Hilchos Avelus, we said that one's allowed to get married if they haven't been mekayim the mitzvah peruvu yet, or if there's little children. But for some reason, the Bach says, when it comes to the Avelus of Sfiras Omer, one's not allowed to get married in any situation. It goes against Hilchos Avelus. But then he quotes from the opinion of the Mari Lunzunda, I'm not sure exactly who that is, but he quotes that shelo kayim peruvu, one who is not mekayim the mitzvah peruvu, or has little children, or needs someone to serve him, lo chayshina lemin haga. He says one is allowed to get married during Sfiras Omer if he doesn't have children yet, or needs someone to take care of him or his children. So according to the second opinion of Behetiv, this makes a lot of sense. Because just like Hilchos Avelus, there's certain heterim to get married, so during Sfiras Omer, which is also Avelus of the Talmidim Rabbi Kiva, there are heterim to get married if a person has not been mekayim the mitzvah of Peruvu. The question is, what about according to the Bach? Why does the Bach say there's no heter to get married during Sfiras Omer? Is Sfiras Omer more machmir than Hilchos Avelus? Hilchos Avelus is one, there's a din d'oraisa according to many Rishonim. But during Sfiras Omer, it's a minhag, and they turned it into a lach, but it's only a minhag, it's an Avelus Yishana, it's an old Avelus. Why is there no heter to get married if a person has not yet mekayim the mitzvah of Peruvu? So there's an interesting Pichadash who says about, he says the, when it came to, look at number 5, he says that the heter to marry two wives, one's allowed to marry two wives if he has not yet been mekayim the mitzvah peruvu. Even though there's a Takanas Rabbeinu Gershom who says that you can't marry two wives, the takana didn't exist when it came to the mitzvah peruvu. One's allowed to marry two wives, even according to Rabbeinu Gershom. So even though we don't paskin that way, when it comes to the halacha of the avelus, which is only a minug during Sfiras Omer, certainly one would be allowed to marry, get married for the first time, to have children. So why does the Bach say that one cannot marry at all during Sfiras Omer?
That nekuda of the prichadosh is referring to where the first wife is barren or love barren.
Most likely a situation where it's barren. So what exactly is the reason why we're so machmir when it comes to Sfiras Omer that there is no heter at all to get married, even to be mekayem in the midst of peruvu? Any suggestions? What's the reason? Why is the Bach so machmir? Why is he machmir during Sfiras Omer that although when it comes to Avelus, if one has not yet been mekayem in the midst of peruvu, there's a heter to get married? When it comes suddenly to the Avelus of Sfiras Omer, there's no heter to get married.
Possible that people take Avelus very seriously, but with Sfiras Omer, people might not take it seriously, so we don't want to start making, heterim within this concept of preserve the Avelus.
Interesting. You're trying to compensate and preserve the Avelus, so it is, really, it's a real din of Avelus, but people don't take it seriously since it's Avelus. Yishon is an old Avelus, and perhaps for that reason you have to strengthen it. The weakness in that is the only Avelus that we find by Sfiras Omer is not getting married, and according to some poskim, not getting haircuts, even though we practice that way, and maybe some dancing and music, but it's not a real full-fledged Avelus. But you're saying since it's so weak in its own right, and the one thing we do hold on to is Nisuin, so we're so machmir with that. Possibly.
One's Nevat Tzipa, one is Nevat Gafur, and Mamat, and things are based on the sources on it from the Tzipa, some Tzipa in the Nehagamar that we practice.
Interesting. So that could be similar to the Gemara Yivamos, has such a chiluk like that. And that might explain why Tisha B'Av as well during the Bein HaMetzarim is also no heter to get married because of Avelus B'Tzibur, even though it's also Avelus Yishana, may Avelus B'Tzibur is greater and we have to be more machmir in that regard. The weakness with that is that Sfiras Omer still, the only thing we find is Nisuin. At least by Bein HaMetzarim, there are more halachas of Avelus that are applied, laundry and taking showers and stuff. When it comes to Sfiras Omer, it seems unlikely that's going to be considered Avelus B'Tzibur, but maybe.
Maybe because the liking of Ben Adam Lachavero was during the third time. So getting married, if there's no tikkun of Ben Adam Lachavero, it's not shayach in this time. So maybe the Bach was saying like,
okay. So Rav Weinberg has suggested to me something similar to this idea, that during this time period, the reason why we're so machmir dafka in mitzvah puravu is because during this time period where they didn't have any kavod amongst each other, and we lost, because of that, we lost the Torah Shebaal Peh, we lost the Mesorah, and all the Talmidim were lost. So our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, our marriage, which the Kadosh Baruch Hu has been separated from the Kadosh Baruch Hu, so there's no marriage on a global level to Kadosh Baruch Hu. There can't be a marriage even within each other because we lack the kavod bein adam lechaver, we lack the Torah itself, something like that. In a deeper level, but in
it's hard to cancel the
right,
offer.
Exactly. So I'm shot. Well, not to avail. Avelus is 7 days. So avelus. So then, even 30 days, let's say, if you want to do shloshim, but still, sphere is longer than that. So with the Magid of Ram writes, based on Hilchos Tisha B'Av, you look at Hilchos Tisha B'Av. So the halacha is that l'tzorach mitzvah kol shari, but ve'ein nos nashim. When it comes to getting married during Bein HaMetzarim, one's not allowed to get married. And why? Why can you not get married during Bein HaMetzarim? Says the Magid of Ram, number 7, d'lo misamne milsa. Some of you asked what that meant. It's not a good simon. It's not a good mazel to get married during this time period of the 9 days and 3 weeks. It's not a good simon to get married during Sfiras Omer. I think the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Magid of Ram from Tisha B'Av, from Bein HaMetzarim. Same halacha applies here. The reason why you can't get married during Sfiras Omer is not because of Avelus. It's because it's a bad mazel, not a good time to get married. So you're going to tell me that's crazy. There's mazals to get married, certain mazals not to get married. But yes, if you look in Hilchos Kedushin, the end of Hilchos Kedushin in Evin Ezer, the Rama writes in Simen Samach Dalad, that a person should ideally get married the first half of the month where the moon is getting bigger and bigger and bigger, where there's more bracha, as opposed to the second half of the month where it gets smaller. Don't get nervous if you got married the second half of the month. The postman tried to figure out why that wasn't the custom, but they say it really should be the custom. The Ramah brings, there are certain time periods where one should get married during the first half of the month and not the second half of the month. So, too, they point out here, too, also, during the Bein HaMetzarim, during Sfiras Omer, it's not a good time to get married. It's not because of a velus, but rather it's because of a bad mazel. Yeah.
The concept of if you have a lady you're about to marry, you better do it because someone else may take her. So.
Right, so when it comes to Erison, you could just chop her and acquire. That's not marriage.
No, what I'm saying is, if you didn't have Erison anymore,
So Erison, you could do Erison even during Sfiras Omer. That you could solidify that connection, but you can't get married. It's the Nisuin that requires the Siman Bracha.
Right. So
I'm saying Mizman Zeh, where we do everything in the one time. So right. So the question, which is the mazel, which is better, the bad mazel or the chapping the girl before you lose her out? But no one else allowed to marry her either, so you're not losing out on anybody. So no one would be Masada Kedushin for that wedding. So the Shus Yaakov takes this idea, he discusses this whole inyan, but takes it a step further. In the last line of number 8, he says it's beyond simply a bad simon. He refers to it even as a sakana. He says one time a certain chacham allowed someone to get married during this time period of Sfira, and it didn't work out very well. And he says, therefore, ki chamira sakanta mi isur. The Gemara in Chulin tells us that the sakana is much more severe than an isur. The isur of eating bas b'chalav is pretty serious, but the isur of sakana, let's say eating fish and meat together, which is a sakana, that's much more severe. Hitroso, it's not just an isur of an avelus, of nihuga avelus, it's actually a sakana of the relationship between them to get married during this time period. And therefore, one should not be mevatel minog, and that might be the basis for the bach, why even if a person has not yet fulfill the mitzvah pervu, you still cannot get married during the period of Sfiras Omer, because it's not only a bad simon, but it's also a sakana lefila Shvaz Yaakov.
So I mean, every year we said avelas. I mean, so it's not like avelas really. Why is that?
It's certainly not full-fledged avelus, because there's so many things we do which an avel doesn't do. But at least with respect to Nisuin, that's one inyan they took upon themselves with respect to Nisuin, to keep avelus of Nisuin during Sfiras Omer, according to those who think it's a bad avelus. It's a very, very small, narrow type of avelus. It can't be a real avelus, obviously, because all the halachas we don't keep. We wear leather shoes and everything else. But it's not really avelus, but at least it might be some remez to avelus. And one side versus no, it's really a din in bad mazel, or maybe even a sakana. So there's an afkamina, and we'll again say an afkamina as we go through. What is the time period that one's not allowed to get married? During the entire Sfiras Omer period, up until Lag BaOmer, Rosh Chodesh until Shavuos. So let's go through that discussion. So you look, number 9 now, the tour, the end of the tour, he quotes two different opinions about getting a haircut. He says, Yesh makomo shelo shenogu shelo lehistaper. There are those places who had the custom not to get haircuts. Yesh mistaprin milag v'omer v'elach shomim shaz paskim milamos. Others say the Isser only existed from the beginning until Lag BaOmer, only for 33 days. Others, the entire period. And it seems that even others had such a custom not to get, that one would be allowed to get haircuts during the entire Sfira. It's only some had a custom. Some didn't have any custom at all about haircuts. Some said the entire Sphere you cannot get, and some said only for 33 days. So what's the machlokas, whether or not you can get haircuts or not get haircuts? What do you think that machlokas is based on? Is one allowed to get haircuts during Sphere Summer? We paskin you can't, for the most part. But can one or can one not? That machlokas is tali, perhaps, on why Nisuin is Aser. If Nisuin is Aser because of Avelus, so perhaps it was extended also to getting haircuts, which these are two probably the most outwardly forms of Avelus. Marriage and getting a haircut and letting the beard grow long. If you say the reason why you can't get married during Sfira is because of sakana, there's no reason why that would extend over to haircuts. Haircuts has nothing to do with the sakana. So maybe this machlok is about whether one may get haircuts or not during Sfira might be taloi on the reason why Nisuin was usher in the first place. So either way, the customs brought down in the tour that either it's usher to get haircuts the entire time or only to Lag BaOmer. The Beis Yosef points out the heter to get haircuts after Lag BaOmer also applies to getting married. One only needs to hold back from getting married up until Lag BaOmer, but after that point, just like one may get a haircut, so too one may get married after Lag BaOmer, because at that point is when the Talmidim Rabbi Kiva had stopped dying. So if you look at Beis Yosef, number 11, He quotes a medrash. He's trying to figure out the reason how we know the Lag Bomer was the day they stopped dying. So he quotes a medrash, Sheyesh b'medrash shemesu mipesach ad prus ha'atzeres. That the medrash tells us that Tamidim Rabbi Kiva died from Pesach up until the prus ha'atzeres, which is a break, literally, which means 15 days, based on the Gemara in Pucharos. He quotes the Gemara in Shkalim here, that prus means 15 days prior. So 15 days before Shavuos. So you do the math a little bit. 49 days minus 15 would give us 34. So until 34 days is when the Isser of getting haircuts and the Isser of getting married exists. And this is the Beis Yosef talking on the Shulchan Aruch and the Svardim, that that's why you have to wait until Yom Lamedal, till the 34th day, mixes Yom Kekulo. Once you have the morning of the 34th, it's as if the entire day passed through. That therefore, ready in the morning, one's allowed to get a haircut and get married. That's the Svardim, because the Beis Yosef bases it on this Medjush, that Prus means half. Half of a month is 30. 30 is half of 30 is 15. That gives you today Lamedal. That's the basis for the Svardim.
Mitzvah Kulo, it seems to sound like Mitzvah Kulo would be already like Tzitzit Kochavim.
So that's a machlokas. The Beis Yosef notes such a machlokas. The Ramban says even Belaila, once you start of the night, mixes Yom Kippur, it's a machlokas in general. We paskin, it begins in the morning only. Like if someone sings Shiva, they don't get up on the seventh day until the morning. They don't get up the night of the seventh day, they get up in the morning. That's why we paskin. But it is a machlokas. We show them, we'll get to later on, another way to explain this machlokas, mixes Yom Kippur.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Prus ha'atzeres means prus is this measurement of 15 ha'atzeres from atzeres. So why isn't I mean I happen to have known this when we were learning. I knew it was the 34th day is when. But I why is it? Why don't you do? Why isn't it 35?
No, because
prus ha'atzeres means ha'atzeres, which is the Yom Tif, which is the 50th day. 15 minus.
Right. No, so Shavuos certainly was not part of the calculation. There's certainly, you can't get haircuts and you can't get married because of the Yontif for technical reasons.
Right.
But the sphere only lasted till 49 days. So when they say at Saris, it's lo ad ve lo bechlal. It doesn't include. Yeah. Okay. Now, the Ramah writes in number 12 that based on the Ashkenazim's minhag is that on day 33 already there's a heter to get haircuts and to get married. And he says, we'll see about this a little bit later, he says, minhag pashel histapir biyom lamed gimel umar bimbo mishe v'simcha ksas. Lag Bomer, for whatever reason we don't know yet, there's some level of yomtif, there's some level of simcha already on day 33. And pashas is there's a machlokas between the Mechaber and the Ramah and Metzias, what had happened? When did they stop dying? Did they stop dying on lamed gimel or did they stop dying on lamed dalet? Mechaber Paskin, the Sfardim Paskin, Lamed Dalet. So therefore, the morning, Miktas Yom Kekulo, you could get married and get haircuts after the morning, or after the morning begins. And there are Maholds in the Ashkenazim Paskin this way, that already Lag Bomer is when they stop dying, and Miktas Yom Kekulo, therefore, the morning of Lag Bomer, one could get haircuts and already get married. So this is what you see in the Shulchan Aruch, number 13, number 14. We have to read this inside, but this is how the Paskin, that Sfardim say you have to wait until Lamed Dalet, and the Ramah Paskin, you have to wait until you can already get a haircut by Lamed Gimel. So if you look in page number 3 now, I said before, what's the basis of the Machlokas 33 and 34? So says the Mishabura number 15 tells us, Biyom Lamed Gimel, the Sphere Lay, the Biyom Lamed Gimel, Pascu Lagami Malamas, that's when they stop dying. Lag Bomer, according to their Ma, they stopped dying. So the Machlokas, it sounds like in Metzias, we don't like to say that usually, but it sounds like when they stop dying is the Machlokas. So the Ramah before told us, the Archim Moshe said there was a big simcha. What's a simcha? They stopped dying. What great simcha is that? And I'm stopping dying. Okay, it's a little breath of fresh air, but it's not necessarily a simcha. So the Gemara points to a Gemara at the end of Tainus that this whole machlokas, the Mishnah tells us the two happiest days of the year, which 2 days?
Tu B'Av?
Yom Kippur. So the Gemara gives a number of reasons why Tu B'Av was the happiest day. So one of the answers given is because that's when the members of Klai Yisrael stopped dying in the Midbar, and they therefore became Tu B'Av, was a great celebration. So you see such a precedent that there can be a Simcha when people stop dying. So that's the basis for the Ramah's opinion, that there is a Simcha in Lag Bomer, because that's when the Tamid Rabbi Kiva stopped dying. So in Hari Kedem, it's pointed out that Rav Soloveitchik said the Machlokas brought down the Mishabur. We didn't see this inside yet, but there's a machlokas. Can the celebrations of Lag Bomer begin already the night of Lag Bomer, or do you have to wait until the morning, like you mentioned before? So Pashas is, it sounds like they're arguing about when Mixa Yom Kekulo kicks in. According to the Ramban, in general, he holds by Avelis and elsewhere, that right by the nighttime, the day has begun. And once you've begun the day a little bit, it's as if the day was complete. And according to the other Rishonim, how we paskin in general, is that it doesn't end until the morning. You have to wait until the morning begins, and once you have the morning, Mikzvah Yom is kikulo. That's machlokas, whether Lag Bomer celebrations begin at nighttime or during the daytime, how we paskin by Mikzvah Yom kikulo in general. But Rav Soloveitchik suggests maybe it's a different machlokas. Maybe the machlokas is whether you could start Lag Bomer at nighttime or morning time, is whether or not Lag Bomer is a yomtif or not. If Lag Bomer is a din of yomtif, which sounds like from the Ber Groh, Kor the Gemara and Tainus, so yomtif already begins at nighttime. But if it's really the last day when they stop dying, it wasn't so much a yomtif, but it was just the last day when they stop dying, it's the din of the Avelis ending, then we don't paskin that nighttime is the beginning, or that nighttime is really the end of Avelis. It's not until the morning of does Avelis end. So again, if it's about Mixes Yom Kikulo, you have to wait until the morning. If it's Lag Bomer is a yomtif, then already Belaila is already the celebration of the yomtif of Lag Bomer. Okay. Now, Rav Soloveitchik brings a raya for such a concept that Lag Bomer is a yomtif. Because there's an opinion we're about to see, we're familiar with it, but we'll see it inside the sources, that some have a custom from Rosh Chodesh Iyar today, until Shavuos, not to get haircuts. Beforehand, you were allowed to get a haircut. On Friday, you could get a haircut, but already Rosh Chodesh today, until Shavuos, you can't get a haircut. So what happens? What's Lag Bomer? Are you allowed to get haircuts on Lag Bomer? So the way we paskin, the Ramah brings down that one may get a haircut. Even if you hold the second half of Sphere, you can get a haircut on Lag Bomer. Because Lag Bomer is a yomtif. That's the right. It's a yomtif in the middle of the day. It's nothing to do with the ending of the Misa. It's some other reasons. Hilula the Rav Shpi, maybe. But somehow Lag Bomer is a yomtif, even though it's in the period, the second half of Avelis. There's another explanation we're not going to go through right now. So now let's talk about this second opinion. Right now we've been speaking about the first custom of the first 33 days. From Pesach until Lag Bomer, or Lad Bomer, according to the Sfardim, those first 33, 34 days, one cannot get haircuts, one cannot get married. But there is another opinion, which is brought down in the Beis Yosef. Beis Yosef number 20 tells us that there was a custom that one, that the certain individuals would get haircuts on Rosh Chodesh Iyar. Because Rosh Chodesh was a type of Yomtif. Rosh Chodesh is a Yomtif, there's some sources for this. Today, Rosh Chodesh Iyar. So the Beis Yosef didn't really know what pshat in this minhag was, and he suggested maybe it's based on a shita sarishonim that says when we celebrate Lag Bomer, it doesn't mean Lag Bomer, the 33rd day of the Omer. What it means is that there are 33 days throughout the Omer that you cannot get haircuts, and they're dispersed throughout. So the math is as follows. There are, he goes through the 7 days of Pesach and the 7 Shabbosos throughout Sfiras Omer, and 2 days of Rosh Chodesh, Iyar and Sivan, respectively. That gives us a total of 16 days. Those are 16 days where there's no Avelis. 7 days of Yontif, 7 days of Shabbos, 2 days of Rosh Chodesh, that gives us 16 days. So 49 minus 16 gives us 33. And that's perhaps the basis. So since Rosh Chodesh, one of the days where they kept as a Yomtif, that they didn't have any Avelis on Rosh Chodesh, not the way we paskin, but there's no Rosh Chodesh, there's no Avelis on Rosh Chodesh, and the Talmidim Rabbi Kiva didn't die then, so therefore that's one of the days, and one's allowed to get a haircut on those days. What? Right, so Rabbi Yudah Chassid had such a takana, tzava, not to get haircuts in Rosh Chodesh. Mishabur points out if one has such a minog, even still there might be a heterim to get a haircut on Rosh Chodesh if you paskin this way. So this is, so that's the basis. What the Beis Yosef is basically saying in the Bach, let's say this all outside, is according to the first opinion, the reason why the 33 or 34 days in the beginning was usher, the reason why there's Avelis is because that's when the Talmidim Rabbi Kiva actually died. The other approach is that we're not trying to keep to the exact days that they died or didn't die. There were a total of 33 days dispersed throughout Sfiras Omer. There was a stop of the 7 days of Pesach and 7 Shabbosos, and then the 2 days of Rosh Chodesh, they stopped dying. We're trying to take those days, those are 16 days, and just organize it. We're not trying to replay what had happened historically. So we're taking, in the beginning, we're taking the first 16 days from Pesach until Rosh Chodesh Iyar, and we're going to say, we'll just keep regular days getting haircuts and getting married during the first 16 days. And from Rosh Chodesh up until Shavuos, the last 33 days, even though it's not how it happened, will just be noheg as a minog to remember, as a zecher, what had happened during those times. But not trying to be exactly historically what had happened then, just trying to remember there were 33 days dispersed where they died. Let's take 32 days in a row where will be a noheg, avelus, and no marriage and no haircuts.
If so, bring it to Ben HaMitzalim then.
No, it has to be during the Sfiras Omer period where it's at least close by to when it happened. It'd be too far moved to wait all the way. You know, it'd be nice. It'd be convenient. But, no, but at least it's somewhere in proximity to it. It's not too off. It's during Sfiras Omer. We're not trying to be so exact on which days they died, which days they didn't. And you read through the poskim. Once you have this ability to shift around which days you could keep avelus, which ones not to, there comes out a total of 4 different minhagim, which days to keep as a remembrance for the days. I'm not going to go through all of them. The Mishnah Berurah brings down a couple of them. The Ramah brings down a couple of them. But there are a number of different minhagim, how to count the 33 days. And it's not exactly what had happened again. It's a zecher of the 33 days. Now, this is very important because we'll see. Let's move now to number 5 and see how this is very important in terms of passing shilas about changing from year to year about which 33 days to keep. Look at number 25. The Shulchan Aruch, it's really the Ramah, says, "Lo yinhagu bi'ir achas u'miksas minhagzeh, miksas minhagzeh." In one city, half the community shouldn't be doing this 33 days and the other half doing the other 33 days. Mishum lo siskozu v'kol shkein chain linog heter v'shtem. So there shouldn't be different minhagim in different communities in the same community. Everyone should be consistent with what they're keeping. And certainly a person should not be makil with respect to both halachas. You shouldn't keep 15 days in the beginning and 15 days in the end and end up having only 15 days in the middle. So Mishnah Berurah points out, although you can't be makil on both ends, you can be machmir on both ends. In number 26, he points out, aval yachol litvos chumri haminhagim. One can be machmir and keep the entire period of Sfira from Pesach until Shavuos and be knowing the avelus, not to get married, not to get haircuts either. Why, says the Mishnah Berurah, Kevin she'osa ken rak machma safik. It's only within safik. In general, the Gemara doesn't even talk about it. A person cannot do two halachas that go against each other. You can't always be machmir. Say, I want to be like Shammai when he's machmir, I want to be like Hillel when he's machmir. Take all the chumras. The Gemara says you're not allowed to do that. And at the same time, you can't be mekel like Shammai when he's mekel and mekel like Beis Hillel when he's mekel. You have to be consistent with one shita. But let's say you don't know what the halacha is. You're not really sure what the halacha is, what's right. So in such a situation, you're doing it out of safik, not to be machmir. You're doing it because you're suffering what the halacha is. So in this case, since we don't know what the real halacha is, you're allowed to be machmir to keep from Pesach until Shavuos, this nihuge avelus. But he says, mikol makom ein tzarich lasoskein. There's no need to do this. One's allowed to do this. There's no problem in doing this. But there's no need to keep the entire period of Sfira as avelus. Ela yachol litvos eizem minag shirta. You as an individual, this is a very key line in the Mishnah Berurah, as an individual, one's allowed to pick which one he wants. Vein lo lachos shem minag makom ho einokein. Don't be concerned that the rest of the community is keeping something different. No need to be so machmir. It's only a minag. It's okay. But if you know that there's a set minag, then you certainly can't go against it. It's only if you go to a place where there's a number of different communities coming together, a number of different minhagim, then you could pick and choose whatever you want during the period of Sfiras Omer.
Is the stuff that we don't know what days they died, or is the stuff that we don't know how to pass it?
It's a good question. He says, "She'eno yodea eza minag hua ikar." He doesn't know which is the right minag. We don't know what actually happened. It could be both of them. We don't know what happened, and we also don't know what the practice should be. So for those reasons, the Mishnah Berurah says one could basically pick and choose, not halachas, but he could pick and choose from year to year which sphere he wants to keep, unless there's an established minag in the place where he lives, which is not the case in the communities that we live in. One could then pick and choose from year to year which minag he's going to follow. Now there's an interesting Chok Yaakov that's brought down in the Shulchan Aruch. He says, even though the Mishnah Berurah writes that one is allowed to be machmir from the period of Pesach until Shavuos, out of Safek, the Chok Yaakov thinks there's basis mikar din to keep sphere from the beginning to the end. And the reason is because he quotes one source, the Shibul Eileket and the Rabbeinu Rucham, that say, based on a Mishnah Edyos, so the period where the Rishayim get judged in Gehenim are from the period of Pesach until Shavuos. These 49 days are Yom Hadin, Yimei Hadin, or Yimei Gehenim for the Rishayim. So therefore, we should have some level of avelus, not quite avelus, but some level of keeping the 49 days complete because of this Mishnah. Even though we don't paskin this way, whatever paskin means, when we say Kaddish for 11 months, we don't say it for 49 days. But we don't paskin like this. Still, there's a shita out there that during the entire 49-day period is considered Yimei Hadin. And there's another opinion out there that during the 49 days, we get judged on the Sora, on the barley for that year. There, Yimei Hadin with respect to Sora. So therefore, all 49 days possibly should be kept Bitaris Vadai, Mikar Din, for Niyuge Avelis. Okay, so now we get to some Halach Lamaisa. So Rav Moshe takes his whole sugya, number 28. He organizes it in these two camps of minhagim. We have the one camp that keeps the first 33 days, which he attributes to the Gruz Shita, that the reason why the first 33 or 34 days are Nihuge Avelis is because that's actually what happened. They died during the first 33 days, and we keep to exactly what happened. And according to that approach, he finds it very difficult to ever change that minhag. If that's what your Shita is, that's what your Masor is, you can't change, because you're keeping exactly what had happened. But if you're taking the other camp, where you're just keeping 33, not random days, but you're keeping, let's say, the second half, from Rosh Chodesh until Shavuos, or any of the other four types of minhagim, the different ways to split up, I didn't go through all them, then the reason why you're doing those 33 days is not because that's exactly what happened, because you're doing a zecher to their 33 days that they died, so I'm keeping, not random, but other 33 days to remember what had happened. Once you keep the second camp of a less exact 33 count, you could shift from year to year. But he does say in one community there should be consistency, that the entire shul, the shul, the kila could change from year to year, but the whole shul has to stay the same. You can't have some guys coming in with long beards and the other guys not, and the second half the other way around. The whole shul has to be completely consistent, but they could change from year to year. That's what Rav Moshe Paskin's like. Now, in a situation like we have communities and shuls all the time where there's no set minhag, then I think we could go like the Mishnah Berurah that says that each person could change depending on what works for him that particular year. It's not picking and choosing a term. The reason why you're allowed to do this is because we're not trying to be exact, because we're trying to just remember that there were 33 days, and that allows you to shift it around. But you can't make up your own minhagim. It has to be one of the four minhagim that appear in the Rishonim, or the poskim. You can't make up your own 33, but once it, one of the 33, one of the four minhagim, you could pick and choose which one you want. Correct. Other than the Chok Yaakov, and the Mishnah Berurah says it's one can, certainly not needed. Right. I think based on that Rizal, there's such an Indian, but based on the poskim, there's not brought down, other than that Chok Yaakov, which is not even brought down by the major poskim. Okay, so now we come to the question of going to weddings during Svira.
Would you need a, if you did a minhag for a few years, would you need a taras nedarim to change it?
It's a good question. My guess would be, if you kept, I don't know for sure, I'm not paskening here, but if you kept like the gra, now the first 33 days, or 34 days is what happened, and you wanted to change from that, you probably would require hatar sadam, because you have to set minhag to exactly how it was done. You kept the second half, it's only based on, because their second half is an example of four other types of ways to keep 33 days. It wasn't exact in the first place. It's one of the four types of minhagim in that camp. I would imagine, Rav Moshe seems to say clearly one could jump around, even if you keep it 3 years in a row, the second 33 days, I would imagine you do not require a taras nedarim, but I don't know for sure. Okay, let's look at one more Mari Malkam, number 29, Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe spoke about a situation about a person keeping one part of Svira, but having to attend a wedding when he keeps his avelis of Svira. So he comes with a long beard. Is he allowed to shave in order to go to the wedding that he was invited to? So he says, if a person knew before Svira that he was invited to this wedding, he should make sure that year to shift his Svira to a different part to make sure he could go to the, let's say the wedding was on the day after Pesach, so he should make sure to keep the second half of Svira that year. He could switch it around.
But what if his minhag is to keep the first days? Right. According to Rav Moshe, right, he's not allowed to switch.
So I think Rav David Feinstein's quoting by saying, if you hold strictly the first 33 days, then you can't switch your minhag. Very good. But if you hold that it's just Betoras 33 days, whatever they are, not exactly, then you should switch it for that year. Let's say you only found that afterwards. You kept the 33 days, or you have a set minhag to always keep the first 33 days, and you're invited to a wedding. So now you're going to the wedding. So going to the wedding, he's not so bothered about going to the wedding. There's dancing and music, but according to most poskim, it's something we take seriously. But when a person has a heter to get married, because for them, it's not Svira, or it's not available for them, you're allowed to go to the wedding. He's not bothered by that. His problem is, are you allowed to shave to go to that wedding? For you, it's Svira. It's for you, it's available. So are you allowed to shave to go to that wedding? So he says, if you could get by and going to the wedding without anyone making a big deal of your, you know, looking presentable still, so try not to shave. But if it's going to look very bad, you go to the wedding, it's going to stare their chasna because you came in looking disheveled. So then he says, you should shave, even though it's still sphere for you, you should shave in order to go to the wedding and look presentable. And he says, not only if you're one of the close relatives or the close friends, even if you're just stam, one of the people at the bottom of the list, you're bomb on the invitation list, but you're invited to the wedding, there's still mitzvah on every single person who gets invited to Sameach Chas Makala. And therefore, you have an obligation to shave during those days and to look presentable for that chasna. Now, I didn't have a chance to ask Rebbe what his particular psak was. He wasn't here this morning. He was supposed to be. So I don't know what he says, but I'm just saying whatever Moshe says, I'm not passing here without him. But what he does say is, again, that one can go to a wedding and shave, even though for them particularly it is avelos, but for the cover of the simcha, one's allowed to shave. Now, what comes out from this discussion is something quite interesting. There is a Mishnah Berura, a Shulchan Aruch rather. We learned through Siman Tav Tzadi Gimel this morning, pretty much. Tav Tzadi Gimel talks about these inyani avelos. In the last sif of Tav Tzadi Gimel, the Shulchan Aruch quotes a custom that nagu hanashim shelo lasos melacha mipesach v'ataras mishkias acham aveilah. There's a custom that women would not do any melacha after shkia during Sviras Somer. And the Mishnah Berurah brings down two different reasons why this is. One reason is because that's when the nikbru ha'achar shkias achama, that's when the Tamidim Rabbi Kiva were buried at nighttime. So out of deference for them, they would not do any melacha at nighttime. And the second reason brought down by the Mishnah Berurah is the fisha ozman sfiras omer uva omer kasev sheva shabbosos meloshon shvus. The pasuk parshas Emor tells us they're called shvus. And shvizman asfir yesh lishbos mi melacha. Therefore one should refrain from doing melacha. So the nashim took upon themselves at nighttime not to do any melacha because these are days of Yom Tov, if you will. And this melacha resonates very well with the well-known Ramban. Ramban al-Torah writes that the period of Sfiras Omer is Chol HaMoed. It's a Chol HaMoed. It bridges together Pesach until Shavuos. It's Chol HaMoed. So this is certainly a very intriguing approach. There you may Shavuos and you may Chol HaMoed, but it goes against this custom brought down in the poskim that these are period of Avelos. How is it possible that during the Yimei Chol HaMoed is also Yimei Avelos? If you're going to suggest, well, maybe Avelos only happened for the period of Rabbi Akiva, we saw the Chok Yaakov that said even before then, these are Yimei Hadin. According to one opinion, the Rishon get judged from Pesach up until Shavuos. And the Seorah, we get judged for the Seorah from Pesach until Shavuos. So how is it possible that the same time period could be both Yimei Hadin and Yimei Chol HaMoed? They seem to go against each other. Also, it's brought down in many of the Svarim that when you find a particular Agata or a particular Sugya in a Masechta which doesn't seem to fit well, there's a reason for that. So a famous example is why in the beginning of Pesachim, the first Sugya in Pesachim talks about Lashon HaPeh, Lashon HaKiyah, how to speak. Talks about using short words and short letters and the proper language. Why is that in Pesachim? It seems completely random. I point out because Pesach is all about the Peh, the goals of the Peh, redeeming the Peh. So Moed Katan, the first half of Moed Katan talks about Chol HaMoed. The second half of Moed Katan talks about Avelos. So in the very same Asech, you find Chol HaMoed and Avelos, which seem to be completely opposite from each other, but there must be some connection in general. And also when it comes to Avelos of Sfira, there's a Chol HaMoed and there's Avelos. How do these two work with each other? So I didn't know the answer, so I had asked Rebbe, and he made the following suggestion. He said that both Yimei Avelos and Yimei Chol HaMoed are time periods where we just were on a big high, or at least when it comes to Avelos, we are going through life regularly, and then there's a big dip, a big drop in our ruchnius, in our spirituality, in our emotions, in everything in our life. Everything falls apart. More so than Avelos and Yimei Chol HaMoed, but by Chol HaMoed, there's a yontif, we're on this big high, and then we dip. Now, it's not quite a chol, it's not as much of a dip by Avelos, but there's a dip. And we lost out a little bit of the Kedushas Yom Tov, and so too, certainly by Avelos, when a person loses a loved one, he's going through life regularly, and then he loses somebody. And he just feels like everything fell apart. But the other common point they have in common with each other is that there's both this glimmer of hope, that even though we fell into this Chol HaMoed, there's the glimmer of hope, the anticipation of the second days of Yom Tov. We're excited, we're anticipating the Yom Tov Sheni, the end. And when it comes to Avelos, we're excited for the moment we'll be reunited with our loved ones. To be Chias Amazon, whatever that means exactly, but even though we have the period of dipping and dropping in our Ruchnius, there's just still this glimmer of hope that in the future there will be this reunion, both when it comes to Chol HaMoed and when it comes to Avelos. That was the suggestion Rebbe had made. Now, that being the case, I think it makes a lot of sense why, particularly the Talmidim Rebbe Kiva, had been Nifter during this time period. Because Rebbe Kiva was the ultimate optimist. Everything Rebbe Kiva experienced throughout his whole life. Rebbe Kiva, the end of the Gemara Brachos, Daf Samach and Beis, a famous story tells us, the Gemara says, "V'liolam he'adam ragil lomar kol de'avid rachman l'tav avid." Anything HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, even though it seems bad, a person should always say it was for the best. And the Gemara goes on to tell a story that Rebbe Kiva was once going along the way in the desert somewhere. He wanted a place to sleep over in the city, and they didn't let him sleep in the city, so he had to sleep outside in the midbar. So he had with him a chicken, he had with him a donkey, he had with him fire. Came along a wind blew away the fire. Came along a fox and ate up his chicken, and came along a lion and ate up his donkey. He's left with nothing, and he told his Talmidim, anything HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is for the best. Goes to sleep at night, cold, no protection, no nothing. He wakes up in the morning, and it turns out that the city was taken over by bandits, completely captured, and everyone was taken away. So you see, had he been in the city, he would have been taken with him. Had he had the fire, they would have seen him. Had he had the chicken and the donkey making noise, they would have heard him. So because of all this, even though it looked bad, it was all for the best. And this is the same Rabbi Kiva who we know, who, you know, he was born, he wasn't so learned. He wasn't learned at all. But still, when he saw the drips of water, even though he had this no background, he was able to say, despite my lack of background, I'm able to pull through and change my ways. He always looked at everything in the positive way. The same Rabbi Kiva, the end of Maseches Makos, that tells us when they were walking over the Churban Beis HaMikdash and the fox was going there, and they're like, they started crying and Rabbi Kiva was laughing. Why was he so happy? Because he knew this nevuah was kept, the other nevuah was going to be fulfilled also. Akiva Nechamtanu, Akiva Nechamtanu. He was always looking at the positive, always looking at something good to move forward. And this is the same Rabbi Kiva, despite losing 24,000 Talmidim, he was able to stay strong, like Gemara Yevamos told us, and find 5 Talmidim to pass on the Masorah. He always looked at the positive, never gave up hope. The period we find ourselves in now is the Ikvah Mashicha, Lashon Akiv, the heel. And the Svarma Kedoshim point out that this time period is when the Nachash is at its strongest, at its best. The Yetzer Hara is so powerful. And the Nachash bites us at the Akif. We're in the period of Ikvah Mashicha. So we need to tap into the Koach of Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva is also Lashon of Yaakov, Koach, Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu, he went through a period of Choshech, of Gullus, his entire life for the most part. And he davened Tfias Mar, Arvis. Even though he's in the Choshech, even though he's in the darkness, he still was Mesakin Arvis. He could find the Tfilah, he could find the Kadosh Baruch Hu in the darkness. So during the Ikved Mashicha, during these sad times of Svira, and in general, we have to tap into the Koach of Akiva, the Koach of Yaakov Avinu. Over Chol HaMoed, I saw this interesting article, maybe some of you have seen this also, posted on one of the Jewish websites. And it was pinned at the top by one of the editors of the website. And it was entitled, Enough of the Massive Chilul Hashem on Chol HaMoed Outings. I was certainly intrigued by the title. And I was reading through, and it was an editor. He was saying how he went to this place, and this religious person cut the line, and then this place, the religious kids were throwing things in the water, and no one said anything to him, and all the passerbys were saying, these are your kids, and they ignored them. Story after story. And I'm like, shaking my head, like, this is terrible. And like, nodding, I've seen that also. I remember that and that. And then all the comments on the bottom, like hundreds of them. Yeah, and this happened, I saw this happen, I saw this happen, and then kicking them while they're down. Just like, we're down, and they're kicking them more and more. Our own people attacking us one by one. And I'm like, this is so true. It's such an embarrassment. And then there's one brave one among the comments. I don't normally read the comments, but it was like hundreds of them. It was so enticing. So one of the comments, you have to like put in like a name, who's commenting. So the name goes under the title, Great Nation. So you already know it's going to be something positive. Mm-hmm. And this individual starts talking about, why don't you ever have things about the great Kiddush Hashem? And even when you have those articles, no one ever comments there. It's only with the opportunity to jump down their throats in the Chil Hashem, then everyone starts making a whole big deal. And this, first, I'm not going to read all the comments that they wrote, but this one individual starts speaking about all the positive things that we have. Certainly, there are a lot of bad things that go on, but let's focus on the positive. We're in the time period of Sfiras Omer. There's Avelis. We lost the Talmidim Rabbi Kiva. We lost a lot of the Torah Shabbat Peh. But we have to focus on the positive. We have to focus on the Koach, the good. So Mirtz Hashem, we'll be zoch that day soon. We'll be able to see Kula Tov. Everything is Tov, but we don't always see it. We should be zoch to the day where we see Kula Tov. And like the Gemara says, Kishem Shem Varchem Atov, Kachem Varchem Al Hara.